Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
And, you know, that in the Bible, you know, Jesus says a lot, doesn't he? He teaches, he's a teacher. He's a teacher, he's a prophet, okay? He is God, all right? So he's speaking, you know, and so we do get kind of focused on the things that he said. And for 8 years, basically, you know, I probably have preached on what Jesus said, all right? But it started to strike me as I was praying that there was things that you learned from Jesus. There was things that God was trying to inspire us by just seeing Jesus. You know, seeing him in some of the situations and understanding that probably the vast majority of the people that followed Jesus were more discipled by seeing what he did than hearing his words. I mean, because if you took all of his words and put them all together in one place and took out all the places where they're repeated, I mean, there's a body of stuff that he said, but he lived a life 365 days a year. And so for those 3.5 years that they walked with him, they watched him. And there are places in the Bible that we kind of read past because we are people that are products of the printing press, you know, that, you know, basically what happened was they started printing all this stuff. And so since Gutenberg, basically, we've been able to read the Word of God. But keeping in mind that for about 1,500 years before that, mostly this truth was being transmitted visually, all right, through stained glass windows or drawings or demonstrations of the Apostle Paul. You know, have you ever wondered, like, the churches that were called full gospel churches, you know? And I know a lot of them have changed that name because people are kind of confused by saying, are you saying other people have only a partial gospel? Well, what they're quoting is actually from the Bible where Paul said, you know, it said, I preached the gospel from this city to that city with signs and wonders so that I could say I preached the whole gospel to you. You know, and so that's where that comes from, this idea of the gospel, you know, with the accompanying, you know, expectation of God working in our midst. And those are things that we see, all right? I remember somebody, you're talking about the church. Everybody says they want a New Testament church. They said, well, which New Testament church? They said, you know, we're talking about the one where Ananias and Sapphira came in, you know, this deal about the offering. And, you know, you come home from church and, you know, how was church today? Well, it was good, I guess. You know, so, what happened at church today? Well, God killed a couple people, you know, and it's like, you know, I mean, but they saw this stuff. I mean, I'm going to go for the idea that from now on in that church took the Holy Spirit pretty seriously, right? You know, and I don't know that it was based on what they said, it was what they saw, you know, carrying them out, you know. So, but Jesus did a lot that we got to see. And so we're going to start to see Jesus as he faces opposition because we're kind of making this turn towards, you know, Easter, Resurrection Day, you know, and we're going to be seeing Jesus in the crucifixion and resurrection. We're going to be seeing Jesus as he goes through this time leading up to that. And there's a lot to see, all right? It's a lot to see in that, and things that I believe God intended for us to have impressed in our heart, because these things that we're supposed to see, we're supposed to be seeing with the eyes of faith, because a heart that believes, you know, when you believe what you hear, you can see it. And so that this eyes of faith, that there's things that we see. Like, I see the second coming. All right. I mean, I can certainly quote some scripture to you about it, but I see it. I got a picture. I got a short video, you know, because, you know, we're moving up in technology nowadays, you know. So I've got this short video in my heart, you know, that plays from time to time where I see this. All right. I see the resurrection. I see the crucifixion in my heart. All right. And those are powerful things. Those pictures in our heart. You know, that's why, you know, that whole visual realm around us. So we see Jesus. And in Luke 4, it's just Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. Now, you have to understand the difference between Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. All right, it's like Galilee is kind of much more understated, we'll just say. It's like it's ruralish. It's, you know, it's got some cities, but, you know, nothing like Jerusalem. And so Jesus has been up there. The people went up to the feast. They saw everything that Jesus was doing up there. And if there was a newspaper at the time, it would have said, hometown boy you know, makes big in the big city, you know, because basically that's what happened, was that he went there, and anyways, and the whole of Jerusalem was in an uproar about Jesus, all right? And people were seeing the things that he did. He was laying hands on the sick and various different things that were going on, casting out demons and things. And anyways, and so now he comes out of Judea, and he comes into Galilee, and it says the people there received him gladly. You can imagine why. All right. Now, you might recall from the last time I preached that there was this kind of thing working in Jesus that he was communicating to us about, where, you know, this, so you're only going to believe me if I do a miracle, right? You know, and it's like there just comes this point where he's Jesus, you know, he's the Savior, he's the Messiah. And if you're only, you know, and so yet, I mean, he does the miracles and people do believe, but there's this kind of faith that Jesus is desiring from them that says, I believe because I received the word that you gave me. You know, you spoke to me. I understand who you are, and so I receive it. You don't have to do, you know, Thomas, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my fingers in the holes in his hands. All right, put my hand in his side. And he said, the person is better, more blessed, who has not seen these things and yet believes, that is just purely on this thing of faith. All right, so they receive him gladly, you know, it says here. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, now this is hometown, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, which of course is a scroll. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Up to this point, he's fine. Okay, we can go to fellowship hour without any trouble after this. Okay, but he's about to say something that's going to turn this whole thing on its head. Okay, and all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. You have to remember, he was just in Jerusalem, and you have to understand he is fulfilling the prophecies about the Messiah. The Messiah is supposed to be like this when he comes. And everybody's saying, wait a minute, you got to be read that. And now everybody's looking at him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All right? And so he has said, this messianic scripture, which sometimes they keep it in the synagogue, sometimes they take it out, but it's become kind of a, you know, it's still a mess. It was considered a messianic scripture at the time. It still is today. But it so evidently points to this connection with Jesus. And so, you know, we see Jesus being rejected here because, you know, basically when he said that, they kind of pushed him out of the synagogue, pushed him out to the brow of the hill that the city was built on, and were ready to toss him off the hill for what he said, which was the beginning of the stoning process, toss him over there and then throw rocks on top of him. And it says he just walked through the midst and walked away. But over in Mark, we get another little clip here, because this is, you know, sometimes we think that these things happen just like bing, bing, bing. You know, it happened over a course of days, you know, these things. And here, and Mark records a little bit different take on some of this. He said, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as are performed by his hands? Those are good questions, all right? However, they already had one answer. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. All right? And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own. All right? So his relatives, his household. And please understand, it was not just the scribes and Pharisees. It was not just the Sadducees. It was not just King Herod. It was not just Pilate that stood in opposition to Jesus. But his own family, at various times, came to, you know, he's beside himself, go pull him out of there or whatever. And, you know, and that's why he didn't get all excited when, hey, your mom and brothers are here. Oh, good, have them come. We'll grab something to eat here. We'll go out to Starbucks or something. You know, it's like, no. He was like, he says, who are my brothers and sisters? Who is my mother and father? You know, and basically he's saying that the people who were following him, those were the ones that were going to constitute his family. And so it says he wondered at their unbelief. He wondered at their unbelief. They took offense. They asked questions. They're good questions. But it wasn't the question that was the problem. It was the answers. Okay? And so it says what that word offended means they were scandalized. You know, some hometown kid that we know, you know, I remember him when he was a little kid, you know, and now he's trying to say he's some Messiah or something. And it says they were scandalized by this. They were offended. All right? This is a deep thing. All right? But I guess, you know, this is a short message Sunday because, you know, we're doing a lot of different things this morning that are just, you know, part of our life together. But I just want to get right to it, which is, how do we respond to those questions? You know, because the Bible provides answers to these questions. All right? Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? And what are these miracles that are performed by his hands? You know? It's an intriguing thing for me, the number of times that I have been sitting at a table with, you know, some people and sharing a testimony with somebody who is not yet a believer, and how quickly, unfortunately, sometimes, when you present this testimony, skepticism comes instead of faith. All right? There was somebody, and I've shared this before in service, but there's somebody that you know, I mean, this is not about me. Are you kidding me? Like I'm the brown shoes of pastors. If you haven't figured that out yet, I mean, I don't even try to be impressive. In fact, I didn't even wear a vest today. Boy, how about that? Somebody pointed that out. It's, you know, so I didn't even, you know, just kind of playing it down a little bit. But no, it's just, you know, because it's not about us. We are vessels. We are delivery systems. We are, you know, we're the UPS of God. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, you don't say, oh, UPS guy, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, how wonderful, this thing that you, and it's, he didn't make it. He's just delivering it. Okay, he's just delivering it. You know, I mean, you step into a teen challenge. I mean, people would come in and they needed like this life-changing experience and everything. And at times they would come to me and say, well, you know, the program's not changing me. I said, the program wasn't meant to change you. And it's like, and I says, quite frankly, I can't change you. I says, we're just providing you a place where God can change you. That's all. That's all I'm looking for is a place where God can change you, where God can do the work. And so, you know, it's like, but, you know, so I presented this testimony and it was like, this person had been miraculously healed. And the person's response was, well, do you think they were misdiagnosed? I go, no, they had this disease for like 3 years. It was evident, you know. I mean, I remember sitting at a table, you know, because whenever you do a wedding and everything like that, and then they invite you to the reception, then where do they seat the pastor? Well, near the front, but usually with who? Who are they going to see? No, very similar to the bride and groom. They put you with the relative that they're trying to get through to. Okay, yes. Okay, and so... And this becomes evident to you rather quickly in the conversation because you start saying something about your faith and they very quickly explain to you that, you know, we're not in the same boat. And I'm like, oh, I understand why I'm here then. Okay. So anyways, but, you know, and this one person and they were kind of, you know, how can you believe all this stuff? And so I'd given them several reasons why I believe. But I talked about a time where, I prayed for somebody and they're miraculously healed. And they said, you know, I hear stories like that and it just makes me skeptical. I said, and that's why we don't see more miracles in America. I says, because those things were intended to produce faith. But even in the Bible, right? Okay, they went up, they saw Jesus do all this stuff. Can you think about the stuff that he was doing up there? Oh, my word. And they come back and they're like, well, I'm kind of skeptical here, you know? How could this be? And it says, Jesus wondered at their unbelief. You saw all this stuff, and it's like, wait, and y'all are the people that are supposed to be impressed with that. I mean, we'll get on to the Gentiles later, but right now, you're the people of God. You're supposed to understand this is for you. And they greeted it with unbelief instead. All right? So Nicodemus, you know, you remember him, the famous, you know, thing where Jesus then tells him, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. You know, you're familiar with that context. His opening line with Jesus is in John 3:2, he says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus gets it, all right? Jesus says some things about himself. John 12, 48 and 49. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the words you just heard me say, the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. And then, you know, there's this if anyone thing here. This is, I love the if anyone's, you know, to as many as received him gave he power. You know, I love those ones that includes me. Jesus, when he was on earth, talked about me right here. Talked about John is saying, how has this man become learned having never been educated? So Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, if you're willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. If there's first a willing heart, it's accepted according to what you have. That's over in 2 Corinthians somewhere. That if there's first a willing mind, all right? Do you have a willing mind? See, because this is the thing that Jesus confronts us with. You know, and as we're, you know, preparing to approach, you know, the Lord's table and to receive, you know, these emblems, these things that are signs to us, a remembrance of him until he comes. You know, Jesus said over in John 5:30, I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgments are just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And if you can receive this, if you can receive that Jesus came because the Father sent him, that he came and he died on that cross for our sins because the Father sent him, and because God so loved the world that he sent him for this purpose, that we might be saved. And so Jesus comes away from this rejection, and it's interesting that in at least a couple of the gospel records, the first thing he does is he gathers the 12 and says, I'm going to send you out two by two to go take this message to the rest of them. He's scattering seed. You know, talking about, you know, sowing seed and watering it, okay? He's going to sow some seed here, so he gathers these people around him, and he sends them out. Now, I want to make something really clear to you. Jesus is in his home region when he does this, all right? There were people around him that he grew up with. In Nazareth and Capernaum, you know, both places, you know, he would have known people very well. Small country, and this is a small area of the country. He didn't send them. None of the people that were his disciples were people that grew up with him, as far as we know. There's a possibility that James and John might have been. But he doesn't send the hometown folk out with this message. Why? Because of the answers to these questions. Which is, no, I won't receive this man. But to those who received him, to those who are willing to do the will of the Father, them he sends out. You know, and, you know, it's, I'm going to guess that the 12 that he sent probably had the same questions that the people in the hometown had. You'd have to ask that. I mean, you know, Jesus, you know, he makes some statements to them and they ask him about it and he says, come and see. So they came and saw. So they're following him. I'm sure they went through all the same questioning. All right, but they came to different answers. And it's those different answers that demonstrated their willingness to do the will of the Father that caused Jesus to send them. Jesus, before he left, said, So send I you. Okay? To understand what he did with these disciples, as the Father did with him. Father sent him, he sent the disciples, he sends us. So send I you. You know, that this. You know, once you got the right answers to these questions, once you've got the willing heart that's willing to do the will of the Father, you understand already from years of preaching that you have a gift from God. All right? You have a gift from God that God desires to send out and use. So if we're willing, you know, to do his will, and if we will have the confidence that we need. All right? And he has called us and gifted us to do his will. None of us is going to do the whole will of God. You got a little piece of it. All right? I just found out that my buddy Carl is 10% Irish. Okay? All right? So we don't expect him to do the whole Irish thing. Okay? But he's got a little piece of this Irish thing going on. All right? Okay? All right? So, you know. But to understand, you know, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, But like genetics, he didn't give you the whole thing. You know, we are not God, right? But how do we get to represent God? Because he gave us a little piece of himself. He put a little bit of himself in us and said, now, that's what you're going to be to the world, all right? Like, I am not the quiet, reclusive, listening ear, okay? Now, I'm the guy who talks to you, all right? All right, there's times people need somebody to talk. Sometimes people need to shut up, and I can do that. I've got an on-off switch, all right? I can shut that off if I need to. But we all get a little piece of it, you know? Maybe you just have a particularly kind heart. Maybe you're the universal replacement mother. You know, we got somebody in our congregation that if some little kid's crying, the mom's not around, you just send them that way, and kids quiets down. But that's an evidence of a gift, all right? You know, you got the Lucille Ball thing going on. We all know this. You know, you can make people laugh in the middle of, like, times when nobody's laughing and just they need to laugh, and you can make them laugh, you know? And it's like, but see, those are evidences of gifts that are in us. You know, some of you, man, you say something to somebody, and they just believe you because you got that in you. Some of you got a leadership anointing, and basically you get up and do something, everybody wants to do it with you. You know, those are evidences of the gifts that God has given to us and he desires to use. We're planters, we're waters. It's God who gives the increase, all right? And that's what it's all about. Jesus planted himself, and I'm going to ask the elders to come. You know, he laid down his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life, for his friends. And, it's an interesting thing. The greater love is the word agape, you know, which is God's love. It's a sacrificial love. And I'm going to ask you, we're just going to start to take these, get those in your hands, and we'll pray once you get them in your hands. Okay.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.